listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it is written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail. For what He has said, He will do. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I'm going to call your attention this morning to Nehemiah. Nehemiah, we're going to go to chapter 1, and we're going to look at this prayer. We've sort of scanned through this. Nehemiah is the wall builder, right? Nehemiah is the one that he receives this message, this report from his homeland, and he's asking, how are things going? What is taking place? Hananiah, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men. This is verse 2, chapter 1. Some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had survived the captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. These are captives that were released and have gone back home, but things are not going well. This is the report. They are in great trouble and disgrace, and at times embarrassment. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down. When there's no wall, the enemy can come and go at will. You are a part of that wall. We make up that wall spiritually. In our day, our generation, and in our city. I personally believe that pastors who are called of God, ordained of God, I'm not going to say every pastor, because there are a bunch of leaders that need to get saved. They don't know the difference between a demon and the Holy Spirit. They're working on the wrong team, so every spiritual leader is not necessarily a gatekeeper. But those who are anointed and placed by God are gatekeepers. But the people of God truly are the wall. And I find the people of God are not the ones that want to build the walls to divide us. It is more the leadership that's trying to wall in the congregation. I have a building plan. I have a school I want to do. God is calling me to do all these things. So I'm going to build a wall around my congregation. The people of God are very open to join hands with the rest of the body of Christ. The pastors and leaders must understand that if we're going to be gatekeepers, we're not gatekeepers of our own personal castle. But God is going to hold us accountable as gatekeepers in regards to what we open and allow to come into our region and the city. This is why it's so significant that when God opens a door, you pray about, is this God? Is it not God? Should I do this? Should I not do this? God has sovereignly moved me from place to place, this to that. And today I sit with people that I would have never been able to sit with.
Glory to God.
And understand, it's not because we have such a big thing that everybody wants to be like us. It's not that. It is the Holy Spirit that simply moves us into places where we can have influence for eternity if we are a vessel that He can use.
Amen.
And God wants to use every one of us. Every one of us. So we have gatekeepers and we have wall builders. When Nehemiah heard this, great trouble, great disgrace, the wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been burned. The walls are down. The people are not actively rebuilding. And the gates are gone. There are no voices. There are no representatives standing in the gates saying, no, we will not let that come into our city and into our region. Roosevelt Muriel, some years ago, God opened the doors for me to travel with him to different nations and many places. Esther, you were on some of those trips. I remember Roosevelt talking about Cali, Colombia, where, I don't know, I guess maybe it was birthed in a prayer gathering or something, but they realized we really have to anoint our entire region. They said, we're praying. We have prayer groups that's praying. We have large gatherings, thousands that are coming together to pray. And incidentally, we're not having that take place very well yet. We call prayer gatherings and they kind of happen. But what I'm saying is we really are not seeing what is revival prayer, where the church is being ignited in such a way that we don't have to put a big promotion on or a big party on to get people to come. But people are just hungry for the presence of God. Father, may that come to my city, to our region, and to our nation. That is what God showed me years ago. In this vision, I was in one of the school, like a ball field. It was like this huge arena. And I was standing there, and I was caught up in the presence of God, and it was as if God just spoke to me and said, look around. Look around. What do you see? And as I looked around, I didn't see any church pennants. Nobody was waving their flag. I'm Second Church of the Redeemed. I didn't see any t-shirts on. You know, come to the Third Church. We're the best church. I didn't see any identity of natural gatherings. What I saw was every person was there to lift up Jesus Christ. And I believe what the Father was saying to me, Jonathan, I want to bring people out of their limitations, the box that they're in. I want to release my church so they can worship me and me alone. There was a large crowd. I could not see the edge of the crowd in any direction. I pray for that. I believe for that. The city was in a mess. God's people were in a mess. It was embarrassing. I don't believe I'm the only one in this room that is embarrassed over things that are being spoken publicly by our politicians. I look at this and I wonder, how in the world, how in the United States of America, how have we become so depraved and so low that we would promote the garbage that is promoted and allow people to lead and represent us that is an embarrassment? It's an embarrassment to common sense. It's an embarrassment to leadership. It's an embarrassment to our nation. Let me tell you what's the greater embarrassment. The greater embarrassment is this Sunday morning, lesbians and homosexuals will stand in their robes in many churches. And many who know not the God they are to be representing will stand. So the greatest embarrassment has not been birthed in politics. It has been birthed behind the pulpit because we've refused to stand up for truth. So we have the mess in politics. We have the mess in our land. We have the mess in the nations because there's been a drought in the church. The charismatic renewal. Read of pastors who said one night in a Wednesday evening service from an almost empty auditorium because there was not a very large crowd coming out on a Wednesday or a Sunday evening, but one night a group of young people started coming through the door. And as they came in, they ended up filling an entire section of the church. There were dozens of them. And they came and they sat, and it was shocking. They were dressed like the world. They were the world. They were in shorts and tank tops and flip-flops. And they came in right from the communes. Dozens of them, hundreds of them, and messed up our little religious club.
Yay!
And when it was time for the service to end, they didn't want it to end.
Hallelujah.
They came to find Jesus. And they didn't know where else to go. So they came to church looking for Jesus. And some of the pastors said, we weren't ready for people to show up hungry for Jesus. We had become so indoctrinated with our plans and programs and our little religious ruts that we were not ready for a sovereign move of God. What we need in America is a sovereign move of God. And hundreds of them would come to Christ. Thousands would come to Christ. Water baptism still, some are going on occasion out on the West Coast, where hundreds, several hundreds at one time are being water baptized. Not because people are bussing them in or knocking on their doors, but because God is sovereignly moving in our nation again.
Yes.
And I love all the prophetic words about the revival and the fire and the movement and East Coast and all of these different things. But let me tell you, it really starts inside of Jonathan McLean and inside of you in your house. If there's going to be a mighty fire and movement of the Holy Spirit, we must say, God, we need you more. I heard it this morning. More of you, God. More of you, God. More of you, God. I don't believe we need more services. You know, the day came when God said, just stop all your silly sacrifices. Stop your fasting. Because your heart's not in it. You're doing this because you've been doing it for 70 years. Cut out all your seasonal, scheduled events. What I want you to do is, I want you to treat each other right. I want you to have justice in your courts. I want you to honor me. I want you to love me. I want you to be intimate and personal with me again. I believe God's calling us now. The gates are down. That's what I heard when the towers got hit. The gates are down. Things are not going well. The wall has been torn down. The gates have been burned. But look at what he did. This is the message this morning. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. Weeping isn't something that God has called us to do day in and day out. It's not like we're just going to be weepers because we're shouters. We're praisers, right? Yes, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We have been blessed. We know that. We understand the word to a large degree. But family, listen, as we look at our world, I believe that there is a raunchous rot. The smell of the rotting spiritual condition of our nation rising up before God. Sodom and Gomorrah had nothing on us. The only difference is, and I pray this is different, that America has more righteous than Sodom and Gomorrah. Because it wasn't going to take a lot of people, right? Just 10 would have saved them. So it wouldn't take a lot of people. But when Nehemiah, you see, God had been stirring something inside of Nehemiah. Everybody didn't have that stirring. Obviously, no one admitted it in Jerusalem. And I don't know that he had a two or three team of significant others. I just see Nehemiah. But Nehemiah, when he heard this, he said, I mourned for days, fasted, prayed to the God of heaven. Mourned, fasted, prayed. Mourned, fasted, prayed. Do you remember Jesus' response as he came to the city? He's close to his death. Just hours remaining. As he approaches the city, we have that really short verse, Jesus wept. Now there are a lot of days Jesus didn't weep. He ministered, turned the water into wine in the wedding. There's a party going on. He's multiplying the bread and the fishes and the crowds are coming. But as Jesus looked at the end, brothers and sisters, it's time that we prepare for the end.
Amen.
We need to look at the end. We need to look at the clock, the spiritual clock. We must have seasons of brokenness and mourning, where we cry out to God in sincerity for our nation.
Yes.
Who's going to do it if the church doesn't? Because, well, we've had a lot of different things that we've shared about God's favor, provision, follow God's will and purpose. God's favor, provision, follow when there's revival in our hearts, which we're really talking more about today. God's favor, provision, follow God's will and purpose. We've talked about all of these things. But today, we're talking about God's favor and provision follows a passionate pursuit of the church, the believers, for God's hand to move. Well, this prayer is real easy to hit the high points and to pretty much come to the end of this passage. This prayer, it's intense, it's passionate, it's repentant, it's repentance. His prayer, he's crying out for God to listen. He knows God is listening, but he's not saying, God, listen because I'm afraid you may not be able to hear. He's not saying, God, listen to my prayer because he's concerned that maybe God is not able to do anything. But he cries out, listen to my cry, because he is aware of the deep darkness of his people. And he recognizes, Father, we do not deserve for you to have mercy on us in light of the condition of our people and our land. He prays. And God listens. Yes. Mourned I fasted, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Who keeps his covenant of unfailing love to those who love him and obey his commands. Any in the house that love him and obey his commands. Yes. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying. God, I'm only one, but I'm crying out for mercy for my people. Hear my prayer, God. Look down and see that I'm seeking your face. And I confess that we've sinned against you. Takes upon himself the corporate condition of the land, that some of the righteous that are fighting for purity in our schools and fighting for our children to be in schools where there's a men and a women's restroom. Who would have thought we would ever have to fight for that? There is an awakening in our nation. I see it. I hear it. And it's about time, because just as Nehemiah prays for his nation and he says, forgive us, he accepts some of the responsibility for the fact that his land is in the mess it's in. Because he goes on to say, we have sinned. I confess we have sinned against you. And then he says, yes, even my own family. Yes, we corporately as a nation, Father, we've sinned. And we as a family have sinned. And then he gets real personal. He's going to get real. And what does he say? He says, and I have sinned. He said, I've been a part of it too. Sometimes we should be standing up. We've been shut up. Maybe when we should have sat down, we stood up. The enemy has endeavored to wear us out with all of the wickedness and just numb us to the point where we're just worn out all the time. And a financial advisor sitting in the radio station this weekend, he said, Jonathan, He said we must address the fact that in a season when the stock market is shaking and investments are dropping, that there's one group of people who are not impacted by that shaking, and it's the people of God. Because our faith and our trust is not in this world system. That God is going to take care of us. We need to use prudence and wisdom.
Amen.
There are things that God is given.
Amen.
The faithful wisdom to do in these days.
Yes.
Well, when the devil tried to kill me, thank God I was able to call a doctor. And when I called my buddy and could barely whisper, "Is there anything I can do?" That's all I had left. Is there anything else I can do? Thank God that there were godly people who knew what we needed to do in the natural to be in agreement with the Holy Spirit so we could be healed and delivered. And the enemy was shoveling all of the, "Oh, you got to do this. Oh, you got to do that. Oh, you're going to do this. You know, this is going to happen. The whole world's going to fall apart." And yet, God had a word. God has a word now for all of us. We need to receive His word. Confess we've sinned. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you sin, I will scatter you among the nations. Oh, but look at verse 9. If you return to me, if you return to me and obey my commands, thank God for Jonathan Cahn. He's out blowing his shofar and shouting as loud as he can. If you will repent, if you will return to me, I will return to you. This is the word of the Lord. Return to me, obey my commands. Even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place. The place. God says you can't go too far. You can't be so far that I can't find you. I will find you and I will bring you back. America, God knows where we are and however far we've gone. Martin County, Treasure Coast, United States of America. You are not too far. God can bring us back if we repent.
Amen.
And seek His face.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Nothing is impossible.